right. You know, this morning I want to talk to you a little bit and compare Israel getting ready to go to the promised land to us. You know, the Bible says that, well, Paul talks about it, the things that were written back there about Israel happened as examples for us so that we could successfully enter our promised land. Now, you got to go back to Joshua and begin to read in Joshua 3. It says, then Joshua rose early in the morning and set out from Achaia Grove and came to Jordan, and he and all the Israel lodged there before they crossed. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp and commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then you shall set out on your own from your place and go after it. Yet you shall leave a space between you and it of about 2,000 cubits by the measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way which you must go, for if you have not been this way before. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. Here we see Israel getting ready to go in the promised land. Of course, our promised land is living in the promises of the Word of God. That's our promised land. You know, you ever been at the place where you know you're just about to receive a gift or something that you've been wanting and you realize, hey, I'm just about there? Well, that's where these Israelites were at this particular moment. Now, we got to realize that many of these were the younger people, and in fact, all of them were younger people that were going over, because if you go back, anybody that was 19 years of age or older had already gone away. But the things that God had done for them during these years had been passed down from generation to generation. Have any of you ever had stories of things about your family that's been handed down from generation to generation going way back? I know, used to, my dad's mom, Pat's mama, we called her, she'd get all of us grandkids together, and it was a bunch of us. In fact, there was about 10 of us. In fact, in August the 5th, we have Jerry's home going. He went home. Some of you may remember Jerry Armstrong. He was around here. But she'd get us all together, and she'd tell us things about the family and about Grandpa Drake, which was our great-grandpa, which was her dad, and about traveling in a covered wagon and traveling from down in Texas back up here to Oklahoma to visit some of the relatives, and it'd take them three days to get here. So all of these that were getting ready to go into the promised land, they knew about Moses coming to lead them out of Egypt. They knew about the parting of the Red Sea. They knew about water coming out of the rock. They knew about the manna from heaven and the quail and about clothes not wearing out and how none of them had become feeble, and how God met Moses on the mountaintop, and just all the different things that have happened, and God fighting for them against their enemies. I was rereading some of that, you know, about how they defeated Og and all of those great kings that came against them, that they shouldn't have been won those battles, but they did because of God. Now, all of that was just a foretaste, or the appetizer, you might say, of what was coming. You know, let's compare living in the wilderness to living in the promised land. Okay? Now, in the wilderness, they couldn't possess anything. In the promised land, they could possess their own land. In the wilderness, they kept moving toward the promises of God, but in the promised land, they were living in the promises of God. In the wilderness, they was wandering. In the promised land, they could dwell in their own place. In the wilderness, they just barely had enough to get along, but in the promised land, they have more than enough. You see, God's miraculous supply in the wilderness is wonderful, but living in the daily blessings of the promised land is even better. Hello. You know, now some people want to take Canaan or the promised land as a type of heaven. And I want you to know that couldn't possibly be so, because there's no battles to fight in heaven. You know, we could say crossing the River Jordan into the promised land, because our promised land is living in our life in Christ Jesus in the Word of God. Them crossing the River Jordan into the promised land is us receiving our salvation and walking from the wilderness of sin to the promises of God. You know, the promised land is a picture of the believer living by faith in God's promises. You know, we have to get ready to possess it, though. We have to realize that it's a new time. Now, let's look at Israel here. Let's go back to that third chapter and read here. I'm going to start with verse 2, and this time I'm going to read from the NLT. Last time I read the New King James. 3 days later, the Israelite officers went through the camp, giving these instructions to the people. When you see the Levitical priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and move out from your position and follow. Since you've never traveled that way before, that they will guide you. Stay about a half a mile behind, keeping a clear distance between you and the Ark, and make sure you don't come any closer. Now, these specific instructions were given so that the people would follow what God had told them to do. The priest with the power of God in the ark were the guide. And the power of God resided there. And it was precious. That ark set in the tabernacle in the wilderness, it sat in the Holy of Holies. Nobody went in there except the high priest, and that's only one time a year, and that's after he had gone through a tremendous ritual of cleansing and so forth and so on. And so they were to stay, they were to follow the Spirit of God, but they were to stay back from it. So as they began to move and they came to the River Jordan, and those priests carrying the power of God or the presence of God put their feet in the water, something happened. Now, you see, we carry the presence of God within us. So when we begin to move forward and speak the word, something happens, because we have the power of God in us. The power of God at that time was in that ark. Well, when did it get out of the ark? When Christ hung on that cross on Calvary, and he looked up to heaven and he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He breathes one last breath and his head sunk to his chest, and it is finished. That ark was in Solomon's temple in that holy place, and that curtain was split from top to bottom, and God said, no longer will my presence remain inside of a building, but my presence will go and remain in the house that I created called mankind. And they will have the authority to move with the power of God. You see, he told them to get ready to go because they're going to a new place to live. They're going to a level of blessing that they had never known before. They were going to a level of living that they had never known before. They were going to a new level of provision that they had never experienced. It was a new day. No more wandering in the wilderness. No more living on barely get along street. No more just having just enough to get by. But now having more than enough from Jehovah God. You know, but I want you to notice something. They could decide to go over or they could stay in the wilderness. Now they were still God's children, but they weren't going to enjoy the blessing of the promised land. And one tribe and a half tribe of another tribe decided they're going to stay in the wilderness. They're still God's kids. That's just like a lot of people today. They're born again, even spirit filled, but they're not living in the promised land. They're still living in the wilderness. I don't know about you, but I ain't going to live in the wilderness. Pardon that southern expression there. I'm not going to live in the wilderness. You know, sometimes people write me letters about my English. Well, you know, I guess everybody, I guess, could talk better sometime or another, but anyway, let's go on. They could choose to go where God was leading them, or they could choose to stay where they were. They could just keep on living the old way. And I've seen many people that have become born again, even spirit-filled, that continue to live in the, you know, one day, some happy day. Well, let me tell you what, you could have a happy day right now if you just get into the Word and live in the promised land of the Word of God. You know, they could choose to believe the new day and rise up and go, or they could choose to stay in the darkness. I tell you what, I want to embrace the dawn of a new day. A day where I know that my God is the way maker. When I don't see it, but he's moving because I believe. It all goes back to I believe what the Word says. I tell you what, you want to see some people that's living by what the Word says. Look right there at Grady and Becky Pickett and their kids. They live there in Iraq, right? And I see stuff he posts on there. But I'll tell you what, they believe what the Bible says, and they have been protected whenever it shouldn't be that way. But they have been taken care of. Why? Because they're living in the promised land. Come on now. Sometimes too many people, even people right here in this church, things begin to happen and they begin to wring their hands and they call the office and they say, oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh, hey, I tell you what, if you get a hold of what we've been preaching from this platform, myself, Craig, the lad, I don't know how many Sundays or times he's been preaching. He's been on the authority of the believer. How many of you have realized that? and Tad and Bill, we have been giving you what the promised land. Get a hold of it and get out of the wilderness. Come on. Hey. I lived in the house of the man that started teaching this. You know, and it didn't happen overnight. But I want you to notice that as we continued to believe God and follow the leading of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, we came into the blessings. Sometime I might tell you about it. I've done it out on the road. I've just sat on the platform in a chair and sort of give them our story. Some of the people that traveled with us have heard me do that. You see, they had to get themselves ready, though. He said to them, sanctify yourself, or purify yourself, as one translation. Consecrate yourself. Another translation. They were having to do all of the rituals that was required for them to be cleansed so they could be in the presence of God. You see, as they followed that ark, they were in the presence of God. Somebody said, well, what's that have to do with us today? Well, they were living according to the Mosaic law, doing what it said to do. Now, we have got to live according to what the Word of God says if we're going to enter in. That Joshua 3:5, the word sanctify there means to be clean, according to Strong's Concordance. Now, some people say, well, I'm clean. I'm washed by the blood of Christ. That's true. But what about that unforgiveness you're carrying around? Come on now. What about not walking in love? Come on, there's a whole lot of things that we need to think about and come in line with the Word of God on. In fact, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. How many of you are walking in faith? How many of you are feeding on the Word of God? See, that's all a part of preparing yourself to go in, to live in the promised land. Hello. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? I could go on, but I won't. Lest I step on too many toes. Hebrews 11:6, I already said it, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You see, it says here, but without faith, it's impossible to please him. But I want you to notice, but he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. There's a lot of people that are talking about faith, but they're not diligently seeking him. What about the scripture that says, not forsaking the assembling of yourself together? We're supposed to come together, to worship together. There's something about coming together. There's strength. And, you know, this pandemic, they call it, that we went through, or whatever it is, I don't know. I mean, I just forgot about it. I'm just going to go and live my life the way I want to live it, and according to God's promise, according to God, and according to the promises of God. I know it's real. I know something happened, and I know people have passed. But let me tell you what, I'm going to live with the 91st Psalm. No plague shall come near me. No harm shall overtake me. I believe that. Hello? Somebody said, well, was you attacked? Yeah, I was. But you know what? I never had any symptoms at all. They said I had it, but I never had any symptoms. Hello? Why? Because no plague can grab a hold of me. It might try, but it won't last. Come on now. You know, you got to diligently seek him. You got to keep your faith built up all the time. My dad used to talk about this all the time. Craig was talking about his grandfather. I talk about my dad. He would say, you got to keep your faith built up the same way you have to keep your muscles built up if you're going to lift weights. And he carried two books with him all of the time. There's Doug Jones sitting back there. He knows this. Ever Increasing Faith and The Life of Faith by C. Newsom. That's two books. I know. I would watch him come home. He left when I was in the middle of my third grade year and went out on the road. But he took a Samsonite suitcase. It's green. I got it at home or in storage somewhere. I got it out, brought it out here one time and showed it to people. He would, every time he come back, he would repack that with different books because he, after services, he would read. Sometimes that's the way when I was a kid, when he's pastoring, I'd see him sitting there studying, reading, sometimes all night long. But he always had those two books. He read them all of the time because they help build his faith. You need to find the Word of God, of course, he's reading that too. But you need to find some other material that will keep your faith strong. And you need to have a workout time set up just like you do when you go out to work on your muscles. How many of you run? Anybody in here runners that get out and run? You got a time that you usually every day that you run. Is that right? Huh? How many of you have played sports before? There was a time every day that you went and you worked out for that sport. Am I right? I mean, I don't know how it is nowadays. When I was in school, basketball, whatever, it was the last period of the day, you would go out to the, if it was that season. If it wasn't, you went to the PE class and the PE teacher worked you out like crazy. Been there, done. Anybody been there besides me? Oh, Lord. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter. We had PE, we called it, the last period. And it didn't matter if the bell rung and he wasn't finished with the workout. You didn't pay no attention to it. You just kept on doing exercises, lifting weights, or doing whatever you had, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Listen, you've got to do the same thing with the Word of God on a daily basis. Keep that faith strong. So that when the devil, and he will come in, he will bring things before you, just like, hey, they had a great victory. They marched across the Jordan River when it was at flood stage, and they were rejoicing, and right in front of them was Jericho. Joshua told them, don't worry about it. God's going to take care of it here. And here's what we're going to do. And watch God. Watch God work. You see, they had learned from their ancestors how God had delivered them. Now, when he tells them God's going to deliver them there, they believe it because they believe in what God can do. When the Word tells you something, if you believe it and act like it's so, it'll happen. You see, they had to act every day walking around those walls. That's silly. But that's what God said. We go to look and see what God said in the Word. They had the Word of the Lord coming to them. They didn't have it inside. They had, you know, the prophet, priest, and king. The leaders, at that time it was just the leader. Joshua was anointed to do it. After that was the prophet, the priest, and the king. God spoke through them. We don't have that. That's not the way we do it anymore, because God's dwelling with us. We have the Spirit within. They were anointed and had the Spirit upon to do the job. God talked to them, then they told them what to do. That's what the problem today. Too many people sit in the pew wanting the preacher to tell them what to do when they need to get in the Word, and the Word will tell them what to do. Anybody getting anything out of this morning? I'm talking about living in the promised land. You got to be ready to live in the promised land. You know, faith needs to grow. The bigger the challenge, the more faith you have to have. And weightlifting, the bigger the weight, the stronger your muscle has to be. But how does it get to where it can lift that amount of weight? Because you work it out every day. And you become stronger. Little by little. Not one big leap. Not one big jump. It's little bit every day builds that muscle. A little bit every day builds strong faith. The Word of God talks about, you can read it, it talks about strong faith and weak faith. Hello. I've heard my dad say it many, many times. He said, too many people haven't built their faith up enough to handle the situation. Anybody ever heard him say that? Doug, you ever heard him say that? Yeah, there's Doug. He'll wave at me. Yeah, I've heard him say it many times. He said, they got faith, but it's weak. It's not strong faith. You know, Paul talked to the Thessalonians and he said, we thank God always for you, brother, because your faith grows exceedingly. He's talking to those Thessalonians. Hello. Come on now. You can build your faith by feeding on the Word of God and feeding on good faith books. Like Craig said about a few Sundays ago, you ought to at least read the authority of the believer four times a year, once a quarter. Oh, I read it before, yeah? You know what? Go back and read it again. You'll probably pick up something different. Because the more you study, the more the Holy Spirit will reveal things different. You can read the same thing, but the Holy Spirit can give you something different from it the next time you read it. I've done that many times with Scripture. I've done that reading, you know, I was looking just, it's been a few weeks back now, but it was sitting there on my desk, and I just picked up Right and Wrong Thinking, and I was looking at that, and just sort of scan reading a little bit, because I just had and I began to pick up a few things that I had never seen before, and hey, I was around when that book was printed, okay? But you see, that's what I'm trying to get across to you. Just because you've read Scripture or you've read a good testimony or a good faith book one time, you didn't get everything. How many of you have ever, you know, when you were in school and they had you read, the English teacher have you read a book and do a book report on it? But then you move up a grade or two, and they assign that book again. Anybody ever had that happen? Yeah, I see some hands. And you go back and read it. You know what? I've done that. I saw something different the second time I read it than I did the first time. How many of you ever watched? I like to watch the old Westerns, John Wayne and Joel McRae and Audie Murphy and them guys in the Westerns. And some of those I've seen before, but I was watching the John Wayne. I've seen it, Real Bravo, I think it is. I've seen it, I don't know how many times. You know, I was looking at it, I saw it, I was flipping channels and it was on, so I just stopped there and watched it. And you know what? I noticed something I'd never noticed before. And I've seen that thing, I don't know how many times. My wife would say, well, you've seen that before. I said, yeah, but I won't watch it again. That's what we need to do with the Word of God. I don't care if we read it 155,433 times. Read it 434 times. Okay? Come on now. I want you to notice Joshua told them to get ready for tomorrow. He'll do wonders among you. I want you to tell you why. We don't have to wait for tomorrow. We can have it today. Because you see, they had to be prepared so that it would happen tomorrow. But we are supposed to be prepared all the time so it can happen now. Come on. As Brother Bill says, I ought to get a better amen than that. See, tomorrow he was going to move in their midst. Hey, today God is moving for you. It's not off out there somewhere. They used to sing songs when I was growing up in Pentecostal circles, just a little while. Let's see, what's some more of them? Anyway, over someday, one day. Hey, oh yeah, this is the day. Not someday. Today. Not tomorrow. Do you know tomorrow never comes? Tomorrow never comes. Because when tomorrow gets here, it's today. Hello? Quit waiting for tomorrow and live in today. They're divine appointments when you're living in the promised land. Be ready, be prepared for those appointments when they come. The enemy will come around, slap him back and kick him out of the way and go on down the road. How do I do that? With the word of God coming out of my mouth. No weapon formed against me will prosper, Mr. Devil. You can come in here with all your junk you want to, but hey, there's the door. Boom. Hello. Sometimes you got to get that way in the natural. I've told it before, but Denise was about, I don't know, what, two, maybe three, and she was crying and woke us up. I went over there. She had a high fever. I rebuked the fever. It left, and we went back to sleep. She woke us up again. Third time, I said, oh, I had this. I said, Mr. Devil, and I laid hands on her. I said, in Jesus' name, she's healed. And I said, now, Mr. Devil, you get out of here. And I kicked, and I kicked, and I kicked him out the door. I kicked him down the stairs. I opened the front door. I kicked him out. And I said, that ain't good enough. It is 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I didn't bother. I had on my sleeping clothes, so I didn't bother. I kicked him out across the front yard, and there was a storm drain there for the storm sewer. I kicked him in. I said, that's where you belong. Stay there. I'm serious. Didn't I do that, huh? You know what? She went back to sleep. and never woke up with fever again that day. Because why? You see, sometimes you just tuck out of it. I know Norval Hayes told a story. Any of y'all know Norval? Any ever been in Norval services? I've been there. He was long services when you. Anyway, he was telling a story. He had a restaurant that wasn't doing any good. And so he would drive down there every day at noon. And he said, I would yell at that restaurant, "You're full of people." Man, just go on. And I did that every day. I forgot how long, 3 or 4 weeks he did that. And the restaurant started filling up. But he would go down there and he'd sit in his car and yell. He said, I yell, "Mr. Devil, you have no right to hamper this business." See, sometimes you're just going to, oh, well, now, Mr. Devil, you got to get out of here now. Hey, how many of you ever had a pet dog? You know, you can say, "Now, listen, you got to go get back. Go get in the house. Come on, go get in the house." That dog paying no attention. Fergie, this morning, she was out there with me. That's our standard poodle. And she wasn't paying no attention. And I said, "Fergie, get in the house." And man, she went through the garage and right up the stairs and into the house. Why? Because she realized I meant business. Other time, I'm just talking. How many of you have trained animals? They tell you, they have to hear authority in your voice. Is that not correct? That's what the devil does. He's got to hear the authority in your voice to know that you have control. I don't know how many of you ever rode horses, but I want to tell you one thing. You better make sure that horse never gets that bit up in between his teeth, or you can't control him. You got to keep that horse. You keep that horse under control. How many know what I'm talking about? Anybody know? if he gets the bit in the right place, I don't care what you do. You ain't controlling him. When you're riding a horse, they got to know that you're in authority. I was 16 years old, traveling with Dad out in California. We was preaching this church in the youth group. They was going to go down there to Griffith Park. And have you ever been in L.A., you know Griffith Park. And they had a riding stable and riding trails. And, of course, I'm 16. I got on my boots. I got on my big Texas belt, you know. And the old boy that was saddling the horses, he said, "I've been listening to you. You from Texas?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You ever rode a horse?" I said, "Yeah, several." He said, "Listen, I got one that I haven't been able to. We've been so busy, I hadn't been able to. And it was the early part of the season, and the horses hadn't been ridden very much." And he said, "Every time it gets down to the end there to cut out on the trail, he starts doing that prancing, and he." Get the rider gets scared and he turns around and comes back to the stable. They said, "You think him? I can take care of him." Okay. We get down there. I get down there and he starts that side with, and I slap the fire out of him, those reins on the side, on the slide of the neck. Well, you got to do that. I mean, I'm not talking about being cruel. I'm talking about, you know. And he settled down a little bit. He went ahead and turned out on the trail. Then he reared up. And I took the reins and slapped it right between his ears right there. He went down. But then he came up again, and he started walking backwards. And any time a horse does that, you better get out of the saddle, because if he falls backwards, you're not. So I kicked out of the saddle, hit the ground, rolled over, and I saw a little stick about this long, about that big around. I grabbed that. I hit back in that saddle, and I hit him about 4 times right between the ears with that stick. I never had another problem with that horse the rest of the time. Why? Because he knew that I was boss. We got back off the ride, and that guy said, I watched you till he bucked you off, and you hit that saddle again. I just turned around and started saddling horses because I said, that boy knows what he's doing. Well, that's the way you got to do with the devil. He is going to give you everything he can. He's going to prance and stomp and everything. You got to knock the fire out of him with the word of God. Let him know you know your boss. You have the authority. See, that horse realized I have the authority to control him. The devil has to know you have the authority to control him, and you can live in your promised land. Whoa, hallelujah. Let me tell you what. In the promised land, there's abundant living. In the promised land, there's not any lack of poverty. In the promised land, it's not barely get by. It is more than enough. Let me tell you something. God is wanting to lead you into the maximum, superabundant, over-the-top promises of the promised land. He wants you to live in the promises. Stand up and let's praise God. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Anybody get anything out of this morning? I know you know everything I talked about. You've heard it before, but I want to stir you up again. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift. Stir it up. We need to stir ourselves up sometimes. Hallelujah. Father, help us always to remember that we can live in your promised land. If we'll just take faith in the word of God and follow your spirit, we can live in that place. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and eyes closed. If you happen to be in this place this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we want you to know him like we do so you can enjoy the life that we're enjoying. If you're here and you know what it is to live that life, but you've sort of drifted off course and you need to rededicate your life, or you're here and you know you're born of the Spirit, you've never been filled with the Spirit. According to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak with tongues, the Spirit gave them utterance. Anybody on any one of those invitations, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you so you won't leave here like you came in Jesus' name. But I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So would you just simply raise one hand just like this, raise a hand. I want to pray with you. I want to pray for you anywhere, downstairs, upstairs, anywhere. Hallelujah. There's a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else want to join this? One. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going down here. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hands, I want to pray with you like I said I would. I want you to step out right now and come on down. If you didn't raise your hand, but you wanted to, come on. If you should have raised your hand, come on. Just come on right here. Come on. If you're upstairs, stand right here. God bless you. Stand right there. Come on. Come on. This is your time. Change your life forever. God bless you, man. If you're upstairs, the ushers will help you get down here. Come right on, young lady. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else want to come? Come on now. This is your time to change your life forever. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to wait just a moment. I'm going to wait just a moment. If you're coming, come on. Come on now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Guys, look at me for just a moment. I got three books in my hand. New Birth. Tells you about salvation in him. Tells you about who you are in Christ. My Tongues tells you about the Holy Spirit. I said I was going to give these to you, and I put it in my heart like, yeah, what you got to do to get them? You got them. They're yours. Y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. That's the exercise I do to show you I can give you a book. I can't give you what you came down here for. It's a spiritual thing. It comes from heaven on high. Just as he reached out for those books, I want you to reach one hand, I don't care which one it is, up toward heaven. With that, you're saying, Lord, I'm reaching up to get what I came for. Congregation, reach your hands out toward him as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you right now that every spiritual need in these lives will be met today. Salvation, rededication, blessed infilling the Holy Spirit. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Put your hands down and look at me for just a moment. I want you to go to a place where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Get those books. Would you see Greg and Christy over there? Right over there, see? Would you just follow them that place of prayer so they can give you those books and pray with you? Go that way right now. Just follow them right now. Bless you.
Bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Dan, you got something you want to sing?
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win. No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I win.
He needs to know, I win. I win. Say it, I win. In Jesus' name, with the word and the spirit, I win. I win. I win. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Well, tonight at 6, be here. Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them out the lobby. We want you to have a special gift we prepared for you. What do we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on and make this your home, okay? Tonight at 6 o'clock, be here. We're going to the staff, going to the door, shake your hand. They're going to sing a chorus. You're dismissed, and then they'll dismiss you. Hey, but remember, you win. Why do you win? Because you're living in the promised land with God. God bless. We'll see you tonight.
And I win. And I win.